Welcome to Afros in the Diaspora. My name is Sarah. I am your host, and together we will vent, rant, laugh, and cry as we discuss the highs and lows of being an immigrant. Stay tuned for stories that will inspire, inform, entertain, and give hope. This is Afros in the Diaspora. What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Afros in the Diaspora. And today, we have the elite model, Evans, doing incredible things in Los Angeles right now. La La Land, originally from... La La Land, man! Originally from Ghana. Yes. It's so good to have you on the podcast here today.
Thank you. It's so good to be here. So sorry for such delay. Life be lifing, but we're finally here.
We're finally here. Clink, clink. Awesome. All right, so we're going to dive right into the icebreakers.
Okay.
Are you ready to answer some questions about your motherland?
Ooh, child. This is where my westernization will show, child.
Oh, Lord. Okay, let's see. Let me start easy, right?
Okay, please.
Let me start easy. Okay, so when did Ghana declare its independence?
I believe it was 1961.
Would you like to take that again? Another last chance?
A last chance, oh.
Last chance, oh. It's not 1961. You want to try again?
Because
I think Ghana was the first country in Africa.
I believe so. Oh, my God. Girl.
Okay. No worries. 1957.
1957. Okay, I was close. I was close by three, but I'm so sorry.
By three, yeah, but it's all good. Let me see. What does Ghana mean
to me?
the name Ghana, because it used to be, or I guess we could start here. What did Ghana used to be called? Like, what was the original, or what did the British name Ghana before it was renamed to
Ghana?
That's
a good question. Honestly, please educate me because I have no idea. I know.
I'm Evans! So I know. Gold Coast.
Gold Coast, okay.
Yeah, because Ghana has, I think, up till now, a lot of gold, natural resources.
Absolutely. Oh, ciao. I'm so sorry, my brothers and sisters. This is not cute, but, you know, I was just born there, and I came to Toronto when I was 4 years old, so it was a quick in and out, but I need to get my stuff going, so I would be better.
Not a quick in and out.
It really was. Like, I can't even remember too much memories of it, but in a few, yes.
I was going to ask the meaning. Do you speak any of your Ghanaian languages?
So I know a little bit of Cree. I understand it more than speak it, but okay. I know enough to just navigate. Yes, for sure.
Okay. All right. So now I'm nervous to even ask you anymore. Okay. Look at me looking for a really easy one for you.
Oh.
Because we got to... Okay. What is the official language of Ghana?
Tree. Akan. A-K-H-A-N.
Okay, let's say that's traditional, but what's the official
British language? English, of course.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, Tree, come on. Okay, awesome. So what is the capital of Ghana?
Accra,
we know that. Period. We know that. Period. Accra to the world. Okay.
Period.
Okay. Just a second. Look at me still literally trying to find you just a nice, simple. Okay. Nice, simple. All right. What is typically the rainiest month in Ghana?
That's a good question. I think June.
June. Okay, what is the official currency of Ghana?
Cedis.
Okay, look at you. All right. You're like, we know the money.
Yeah,
all right?
Okay. Did anybody do bad too before that you interviewed?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
don't even worry.
Oh, that makes me feel a little bit better.
Don't even worry about it. It's not just you at all.
You know, but and this is fun. It's teaching me things too. So.
All right, we're done with our questions about the motherland for now.
I am so sorry once again.
Wipe the sweat from your forehead.
I know. Okay.
Just like...
Ooh. Oh my God, it's gotta do better, but for sure. Thank you for that. Was actually really like educational. So
yeah.
I'm happy I know a little bit more and I gotta know more. So next time when you come, I'll be ready. I'll be so
okay.
Ready. Okay.
I'll hold you to this.
Please. Gotta hold each other accountable.
It's all good. It's all good. I'm telling you, like, maybe 10% of people actually actually get the answers I ask them. So okay. Don't even worry. And you got some, so like you're good.
Oof, okay.
Wonderful. All right. Evans, we're gonna talk about your story.
Yay.
Today.
Okay.
Would you mind just telling us a bit more about your immigration story of how you and your family moved from Ghana to Toronto, and now you're in La La Land, which is you're going to hear me say that this entire call, but I mean Los Angeles. Now you're in the U.S.
Okay, so I am from Ghana, Kumasi, which is the second capital, the Ashanti region. So I was born there, then I came to Toronto, Canada when I was 4 years old. That was 2001. And I remember coming there, I kind of remember bits and glimpses of like my journey to coming from Ghana to Toronto. Like I remember being a kid and I was so curious about an officer's gun. And I remember I reached for it while we were my dad was getting like through the customs and stuff. And I remember I reached over to it to grab it and the cop lifted me up and after he was just, obviously I was a baby. I was like 4 years old. Right. So he was like playing around with me and stuff like that. Right. So I always had an edge to me. Like even my mom used to tell me back in the days when she would take me to the beaches in Ghana, I grabbed a snake and I actually walked towards her and I gave it to her and she was freaking out. I always was a person that I always had some sort of edge and like a rebel to me.
Like fearless.
Fearless. Like... Yes, fearless. So when I came to Toronto at 4 years old, I can't fully remember everything, but I remember some small glimpses of what I'm doing now that kind of inspired me. I remember watching MTV. That was the time when it was like you stay up all night to just watch videos
MTV,
and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
and obviously your parents don't really know what you'd be doing because, you know, they go to sleep and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. I remember seeing a music video about Aaliyah, like, We Need a Resolution. And I remember, like, when I seen that video, my hands was glued to that TV, like, in such, like, awestruck moment. And mm-hmm. I remember I said to myself, I want to do something like this. I would love to see myself on TV and do, like, music videos and stuff like that. So it kind of stuck to me. Then after, you know, rest in peace, when I found out she passed away, I remember I was always waiting every day to see her music video. But then I found out she was gone. So later on, so it kind of inspired me to be like, I kind of want to do this for like her and for me as well. So I really got into, I liked music. So I also got to music. I was like writing music, but not in a serious way. At all. It was just more of a fun thing that me and a childhood best friend of mine used to do. And we went to auditions. We wanted to be stars. So we went to auditions. We went to dance classes and stuff like that because it was just like something that was fun. But I guess we had big dreams because it was really what was keeping me going from like just being different. And I remember feeling so out of place. And it was really music and my dreams and my goals that I wanted to achieve that kind of kept me going. So time continued to pass and, you know, lives and you grow older. And then one day I got into modeling and I remember I was in high school. I I was at the time I was working for H&M at Dundas Square, so Eaton Center. And that was a very pivotal moment for me because I felt like that was my coming of age. You know, I was 16, 17 years old and I was queer, but I was very like, you know, I had to kind of hide it and being far away from home because downtown was like an hour away where you see everybody, like you see people being free, people being whoever they want to choose to be and expressing themselves through like their clothing, like themselves, their music, whatever they do, they were really expressing themselves. And I felt very, very comfortable. And I was just like, that was the time I realized like, oh, I kind of want to do something like that. I kind of want to do something that's a bit more creative, I guess. And I remember I had two coworkers. One was a photographer. He was from Ireland and he came to Toronto and he hasn't gotten into photography in a minute. And I told him I wanted to be a model. And I decided, was like, oh, we should collaborate. And another coworker of mine, he was a model. And he wanted to be a stylist. So we were just like, why don't we all three come together and do like make some creative things and everything. And during that time, I don't know if you know a website called Model Mayhem, but that was a website where a lot of crazy things be going on, like all kinds of things, scamming and some photography, like collaboration, like it's a lot of things in a broad spectrum. So I was not getting no luck in that. I felt like I just kept encountering scams and people trying to tell you to pay upfront for money. And that time I didn't have money. I was like in high school. So anything that you had to tell that required money was just like,
la, 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 I'm not hearing you.
I ain't trying to hear all that.
Yeah,
you give me the contract, I'm throwing in the garbage. Like,
right, yeah.
So thank God for me being such a frugal ass bitch. It helped me kind of stay away from scamming shit. So,
oh, that's good.
I started, Instagram was my best friend. Instagram was what I got scouted, how I got scouted. So, we just started taking photos, and there was this one photo that showcased my sarangoma, which is a non-cancerous tumor on your face. And, we have sweat glands that have like holes in it, where you can release the sweat, but mine is just doesn't have too many holes. So it kind of overgrows and stuff like that. And I got it genetically, like my family don't have it except for my mom and me and my grandmother. So I got it and at first I was very insecure about it. And I didn't know, people saw it as freckles. And I remember going to, I'm so sorry if I'm not having any like organization.
You're good. Okay. Good. Okay. Let it flow. Yeah. Let's hear it. Yeah.
So I used to go to agencies. I would go to different agencies in Toronto. And I remember one specific agency, I went to her and that was during the time it was before COVID. So you could walk in, they would have like open castings on Thursday from 12 to 2. Anybody could come. So I decided to go, and I remember when she came, she was like, so, like, we have someone similar to your look, and I could refer you to another agency, but, you know, this on your face, like, you know, maybe you should check a dermatologist to see what it is and stuff like that. So with me, like, I am very, how do I explain it? I could take my emotions out of things. So if it's a professional thing, I don't take those things too seriously because I understand there's some level of, you know, seriousness and cutthroat. I already knew getting into it. Right. So I never took it too seriously. But I was determined to prove her wrong.
Yeah.
So I went to go to a dermatologist just for my own sake. And I found out what it was and stuff like that is genetically. So that was nothing I could really do. So I start collaborating, like I said, with the two people that I worked with, my coworkers. And we created this nice image that got me attention for the agency I'm currently with in Toronto, which is Angie's Models Toronto. So I remember she no longer worked there, but the thank you. She no longer worked there, but she was the assistant, and she messaged me on Instagram. She was like, "Hey, we really like your look. I think you should come in to let us check you out." Then she sent me the contract online, and I thought I was a little bit skeptical because, mind you, I felt like a lot of times people be scamming on and preying on people who have dreams and aspirations, and they love they love to tell you're a star. Like, they love to say stuff like that. So what happened was that I felt a little bit skeptical about it, and I did not even reply back. I read it, and I was just like, kind of like, I disregarded it because I just felt like, it's probably another scamming thing. And at this point, I'm not going to take a career. I'm not going to do a career out of this. I'm just going to do a creative things because I do like the art of modeling and
doing
beautiful images and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So my agent messaged me directly, and he asked me like, "Hey, we really like you. I really want you to come in to at least have a meeting with us and talk." So when I got there, he explained everything to me, how they take a percentage. They're supposed to get you jobs, so they're going to make you prepared to get a job, you know?
Yeah.
They will collaborate with different photographers so you can develop yourself. Mm. And at first I was skeptical still, but I was like, you know what? I'll sign, whatever. And then I signed in 2016. And It was fun. I got my first booking literally a month or two after I signed, but things slowed down, and that was the time when I realized, like, okay, I have to develop myself. So my agent was very, very, very futuristic thinking. Like, he's seen my potential and he's seen what I can do. So he said he's in it for the long haul, and then I just, you know, I am a type of person, I like to improve in myself. So I was traveling all over the place in Toronto. Like, I was going to Hamilton, which is a drive, because I was staying at North York, Western Road, period. That's where I was staying at, Western Road forever. But so I was traveling to downtown, Richmond, Hills, all kinds of places just to collaborate with people that I really, really like messed with, and I was impressed by their work, and I just knew us collaborating was something that would produce magic. And then I got some bookings, and that kind of became a domino effect. So it's crazy how you will work hard, and then you get some opportunities, and everything starts connecting for you. So sorry, that was very a lot.
No, don't even apologize. Like, that's it. Like, I asked a very open-ended question. So, like, just as the answers
flow, let it fly, let it flow.
Just express yourself.
Yes.
But how incredible is that? Because, like, my reaction, because when the person was like, "Oh, you got that thing on your face, coach."
Yeah, that girl.
What?
Yeah.
Do you think I do not have a mirror?
She was a bee. A capital B. You know what? It was a good way to just let you know how things run out here. So I never took it too personal because, like, it is cutthroat, you know? And I feel like it was even much more better to prove her wrong, and many people too. So I didn't take it too personal, but at the same time, I realized, like, stuff like that could really diminish a person's self-esteem.
Your self-esteem,
So if you're not securing yourself, you can easily get swayed by that to make yourself feel less.
That's true. That's true. And yes, you know, like, it is cut, you know, throat. Like, it's very, you gotta look like this, you gotta walk like this, you gotta, you know, you gotta be this weight, you gotta be this height sometimes, you gotta, you know, and you know, that's fair because it's an image industry, right? So it's very visual. It's about, like, you know, this is the box. Can you fit into this box, right?
Absolutely.
In a lot of ways. And shout out to people like you who are, like, breaking those. But you're like, bro, I was born like this. What do you want me to do? I can't sell it. I can't, like, this is it.
Okay.
You know, but being confident in that, because, like, sometimes I can only, you know, imagine. I saw somewhere, like, on TikTok a while ago, actually, this woman who has vitiligo.
Mm-hmm, that's what Michael Jackson had.
Yeah, this lady on camera you would see her like this, you wouldn't even think any, like, you wouldn't think that, you know, you wouldn't think, like, anything at all was going on underneath. But by the time she wiped off her face with, what is it?
Makeup remover,
bro. And it was just this thing where she was like, I'm tired of hiding. I'm tired of covering up something I have no power over. It's not, you know, like, this is just who I am. My mom looks this way, you know, and this is me. And it was just her way of coming out in a way of like, I'm tired of hiding. Like, people saw it and they're like, wait, what? Really? Like, you've been covering up this whole time? She's gorgeous, like, absolutely beautiful. And it's just something you don't have any control over. But I completely, like, I hear you when you say that that's something that can literally make someone doubt themselves and, like, question their own self-esteem. But you're like, next, my mom has honestly, this, okay? Let's move on.
Absolutely. Like, absolutely, because it's really what makes you set yourself apart. And I feel like we finally live in a time where we're breaking the Western society of what we call standard of beauty. I feel like, you know, at the end of the day, it's within. I know it sounds so cliche, but it really is. And also, if you own it, I feel like what you own, people can't tell you anything about it. You can't say someone's insecure about something if they own it. You know what I mean? Even though you may not think it's cute, but if they don't think, but if they think it's cute, somehow they become very magical in how they carry themselves. And I think that's what it comes down to it. And I feel like, modeling is about not only being pretty, but it's really being yourself and owning who you are and standing in it, because it's what makes you unique. And I feel like people want to feel that way. You want to also give off energy where they can feel confident in themselves. And I think that's what makes a person true confidence, if they can make you feel confident about yourself as well. And I just think, like, that was for me, was like, I'm not going to allow this to stop me. I'm a Capricorn, so like, when we have our mindset on something, no matter how long it takes, we don't even care about how you feel about it. We become very stubborn about it because we see it, we vision it, and we want it, and we gonna get it. So I was very determined to, like, I'm gonna get into an agency. I don't care what you have to say. And I was like, even Kris Jenner said this, like, if someone's saying no to you, you're asking the wrong person. And I really stand on that. Like, you're really asking the wrong person. And there are agencies that will embrace you and that will protect you, too. So it's just a matter of finding what's right for you. Yeah.
That's awesome that there are agencies that will advocate for you, because I don't know much about the industry. I only hear what I hear, like, people not eating, people having eating disorders, people
I'm not laughing at, but it's just
I get what you're doing. But like, that's the news, right? When you hear about models, especially folks that are super, you know, skinny and are trying to keep that physique, like, they don't eat. Like, I saw the one with, like, cotton balls and orange juice is what a person, like, I can't understand it. But then, like, more recently, I've been seeing more, like, more diverse body sizes and more diverse tones, more diverse tones as well, right? Not just, like, the mulatto tone, like, not, like, the latte. More, deeper tones, deeper, like yours. Deeper brown tones. And, you know, it's just been so beautiful to see that, because, like, not in the world of people, like, if you're modeling for a dress or for whatever, like, people of all sizes will probably wear it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just...
No, so sorry. Absolutely. And, like, we're all different people. We come in different sizes, shapes, and colors. So it's kind of, like, crazy to say you have to be this standard. Or if you're not, you're not that valuable, you're not beautiful. Like, that's stupid, you know what I mean? And I feel like with anything, I think they capitalize on people's insecurities. And I feel like that's just how it goes. And like I said, if you own who you are, I think you'll be more safe and you can distinguish what is really, like, a projection and what is really who you are. So I feel like, you know, who you are, honestly. Yeah. And you can only do so much to yourself. You know, people, plastic surgery, Botox, and that's fine, but, like, only so much you can do. Like, we've seen botched before, so you know how that can go. I feel like in some degree you just cannot overly change everything about yourself. Even certain things about me that I don't personally like, I've learned to just be okay with. And that's okay, too. It doesn't mean I'm insecure about it, but you know, other people like it. And it's like, oh thank you. You know what I mean?
You know, yeah. I'll take the compliment. Yeah, 100%. But yeah. have you ever had that? I have a few more questions. Have you had that scenario where, I mean, other than your skin, which, like, forget them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but other than that, like, have you had, because some of the stereotypes I've heard, mm-hmm. and so I'm just going to ask you.
Yeah, girl, you can.
About it. Sure. Have you encountered, like, folks that are like, oh, you're too, you need to lose some weight, or you need to, like, change your body in ways that are not entirely ethical? Because you're, like, you, do you know what I mean? Like, have you encountered anything like that in your career so far?
So, personally, for me personally, I did not. I do have curves. We're African, West African.
Yeah, this is it.
Curves.
Yeah, you're so gonna, like, get this.
If anything, it was more so me where I realized, okay, maybe I need to, you know, loosen a little bit, just for me personally. That's a very interesting thing. You know what? I do think me being a male model and a female model is too different. In some degrees, I feel like when it comes to stuff like that, unfortunately, female models go through a lot more of that than the male one. I feel like maybe male models, you have to be a little bit more butcher and, like, abs and stuff like that. So, personally, for me, no, I never experienced that. No. But that does not mean I won't. And if it does happen, I hope I have the confidence and the courage to just, like, you know, maybe say no to it. Like, not every money is good money too, and it's okay to turn certain jobs down because it goes against your values as well. So hopefully I will get to that point where I will be able to do that, but so far no, I haven't.
I'm happy to hear that you haven't had to encounter that. Like, I can only imagine the toll, especially, like, hearing that over and over again, like, yes, I'm glad that you haven't had to experience
good question
that.
Though I like these questions, it's cute.
Yeah. Of course. And my heart goes out to folks who have, you know, experienced that. I'm really curious about your parents and how your family accepted your career path. Would you mind sharing a little bit more about
absolutely
that?
You know, they're African, West African, Ghanaian parents, so you just can know, like, if it's not of structure, quote unquote, they're not gonna really fully see it. You know what I mean? But I would give them this. They never stopped me either. I feel like they were also, they may not have been 100% supportive about it, but they never stopped me either or discouraged me. They just seen it as, at the end of the day, if it's gonna produce you some coins where you can be okay, we're fine with it. And I think, but you know how it is, like, they love to talk shit, and then until you get your big break, and it's like, oh, they start posting your picture on WhatsApp and start posting. So you know how that goes. But my parents was a lot more reluctant when I said that I was going to LA to live there for that. They were just like, oh, wow, you are actually taking this to another level. Yeah. But, you know, I was at that age where you can't really, I was 26. So, you know what I mean? Like, I'm at that age where it's just like, you really can't say, you can't force him to stay. And on top of that, I felt like I was going to still do it regardless. Like, because I feel like I feel like when you're very passionate about something, it's deeper. And I feel like that's between you and God, and nobody should come in the way between that. And I just think, like, for me, I would be more sad if I stayed and then actually really exploring and not only modeling, but exploring myself as a young man, you know what I mean? And really seeing different things out here and more about myself. So they never discouraged me at all. But I think now they're very more supportive than ever. I mean,
your face has been on a lot of big ass campaigns now. So, oh, God, like, of course, gone, of course, they're like, that is my son. That is the fruit of my womb. You know what I mean? So, yeah, like, you're completely right. Like, African parents. So, see, you know when people just have bad mouth? Mm-hmm. I feel like there's something that happens the moment you become a parent. you just have this mouth that you can roast your kid at the blink of an eye over, like, and it will be painful. Like, for whoever is on the receiving end, and they can't talk back to you. So it's just like, well, but now I gotta go cry in my room.
But you know what? In some degrees, in a weird way, it came with a good probe for it, because it made you not only thick skin, but it made you work harder to prove them wrong. And it also taught you about how there are people out here that, you know, if I didn't get those from my mom, like, hey, someone else would have gave it to me and it would have been way worse, you know what I mean? I've learned to also grow thick skin and through life experiences. You learn how to just navigate through this, and you see, you don't get too caught up with rejection. You just learn to also appreciate the best that you give, and that's it. You know, you can only do so much. Sometimes it's out of your hands, but I feel like if you do your best, you can feel satisfied at least on your end, you know, and just leave the rest to whatever happens, and to God, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. And that's it, right? It's like, they want you to have thick skin, and they're like, okay, if you're going to do this, you got to be sure, and you got to be sure that you're sure. Yes. You got to be like, you have to have a plan. You have to be actually working towards it. So it's not like you wanna do modeling, but you're in your bed all day. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're actually
working towards it.
So, shout out to them, because in their way, it's a motivation, but it's also like,
it hurts still.
It's like, ouch. That's an ouch, but we move.
It still be hurting.
We move. So, like, how was it when you moved to LA for the first time? Like, what was settling down like?
To LA?
Did you have to find a new agency? Like, what was settling like and all that?
Okay, so, I came here a couple of times. Okay, I only came here twice, not a couple of times, but I came here twice before moving, and I really, really liked the vibe. I was really more so into how it was, it had a nightlife, but in the daytime, it could be chill. It could be really a kickback, and it really enjoyed the weather. And obviously, like, the palm trees really sucks you in. So when I got there, I was really, really blessed that the agent that my agent in Toronto, he was living out there. And I let him know as well. And I really got blessed, because after I moved, the next day I had like go-sees. So I was very, I had, I think, 6 go-sees within the week. So
what is that?
Go-sees is just basically agencies come. It's like, think of it like an interview where they come, you come. They talk to you, they take pictures of you, get your measurements, because they have interest in you. So, and they feel you out and stuff like that. So I came to LA January 30th, and the next day I had 2. And I was blessed. It was God, honestly, because I was so afraid, because I really didn't know if I was going to get anything. So I was just like, oh my gosh, this is scary. What if it don't work out? But I think sometimes you just gotta go for it and just gotta do it, and somehow it'll fall into place. So I was blessed to have, I came with 2 friends from Toronto, and I had another friend from the UK. And we all had an Airbnb, and where I was staying, miraculously, it was actually 5 minutes away from where I decided to move, because I had to find a place before coming there. So I was moving my stuff while going to go-sees. So the next day, I wake up going to go-sees. Then I'll move things. When I come back, then we go out at night to parties and stuff. Then the next day, I was doing that. So it was like, we were out and about. But I got really lucky. And the agency that I am with right now, Marco, the agency, they really wanted me the next day I got here. But I had 5 more to see. So I couldn't make my decision completely until after. And it was really like meant for me to be with them, and the energy was great. And on top of that, they were advocating for me, and I was really more so focusing on that than what you can make for them, because It's one thing to make them money, but it's another thing if they really, really believe in you and they really advocate for you. Because they're not going to put you in situations where you can be taken advantage for a coins, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I felt very connected to them. And I was lucky to get some bookings. And we're still out here. So it feels like starting over again, where you have to build yourself again. But it's different because now I have my tools, I have my craft, and I'm just paving my own way and navigating through the city of Los Angeles.
Oh, my days. So, like, your mom went on her knees and said, God, as my son is going to Los Angeles, open all the doors. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah, she was on the prayer line.
Your mom was on the prayer line with Jesus, like, please, you got to go with my son. You have to go with my boy Evans to L.A. He can't go by himself. Go help him. And, like, truly, like, it's incredible, like, how doors literally opened for you your first
Thank
week
you.
There. You
Thank
know,
you
like
so much.
That's a blessing, and that's
it
absolutely
really
incredible. You know, it speaks to your hard work and your commitment as well. Because I feel like sometimes life just is like, I'm just gonna test you, Evans. Are you really in this for the long haul? You know, and are you gonna really take that step out in faith and take that leap? Like, that's literally what you did, moving to LA, you know, without family there, and, like, you know, just trying to, you know, pursue your own passion, your purpose, like you said. So that, like, big recommendation to you. Like,
thank
big
you.
Up.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very, you have to rely on faith. That's all I could say. And you'd be surprised what God can do for you. I feel like there's been many moments when I did not know what was going to happen, how things was going to form, but I kid you not how God comes at the right timing, and it may not be the time you want,
but
it comes when you need it. And I think I can only be grateful and just continue to make my way and leave my mark and just build myself and help people and put other people on like myself. So I'm really excited about what else I got out here.
That's incredible.
Thank you.
So Evans, if I'm like, I want to be on Calvin Klein poster next year. if I'm saying I want to, you know, because there are people that I know, once upon a time I nurtured a dream of being a model. But I don't know. I don't even know why. Because to make money, I've posed for a couple of campaigns. But
that's amazing.
I'll never call myself a model, but to make money, I'll just be like, if I see that, like, you know how on Facebook, there's some groups.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some, like, groups in Calgary that are like Calgary models and photographers and, like, things like that. And sometimes they put out calls for campaigns for, like, photo shoot for a university campaign or for, like, a hair care or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've filled out, you know, those forms and stuff twice. And I got it the two times that I filled it.
Oh, period.
And
that's nice.
I did not post about it. I didn't tell anybody.
Oh,
I'm like, why? I'm doing this for money. I just I'm barely, like, and it was such a good time. Honestly, I had a great time. Like, posing, act like you're talking to someone, and then someone's taking the photo, and, like, you know, but it wasn't anything like, you know, fashion or anything like that. And
it's still something.
Of course it's still something, and I'm more than grateful for, you know, those opportunities. But it's one of those things that if I see the opportunity, if I need a couple of dollars to make up my rent, I will, and I see the call, I will put myself out there.
Absolutely.
So what would you advise people that are interested in it but literally have no idea how to go forward with modeling? Like, is there a school for it? How do you even get started? How do you connect with people? How would you recommend?
Okay, so this is only, I'm gonna recommend it through, like, what I did. I would say, honestly, collaborate with people that are actually starting up as well as you. If you want, that's what I did. I made sure to collaborate with people that wanted to be a stylist, wanted to be a photographer. It's better for you to do that because you learn, and you guys have your own path that you want to achieve. But when you collaborate, you can make magic out of it. And also be be like a sponge, absorb it, enjoy it, work with different type of people and challenge yourself. Make mood boards, use Pinterest. Pinterest is the best friend, even for poses, like for people who don't know how to pose too much, go to Pinterest and really just like search it up. And obviously have one in your back of your pocket, but also when you're on camera, don't be afraid to be, look ridiculous. I feel like when you're not afraid of that, you actually create a lot of better images when you're not in your head and you're just enjoying it. And do it for the art of it as well. Money's great, I'm not gonna lie, but I feel like at the end of the day, if you have passion for it and if you look at it in an artistic way, it can also allow you to enjoy it and not take everything to heart, especially when you don't maybe not get a booking or something like that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like, be the best shape that you can be. It looks different from everybody, but be the best shape that you can be. Because when you do feel good and you look good, it translates. So,
yeah.
You know, embrace that and be you. And also, like I said, collaborate. Collaborate. It's a community. It's don't get into the mentality of scarcity. I feel like if you're trying to one up, it's always going to end up, you're going to fall on your face, but you're going to fall on your face. It may not be now, it could be later. I feel like at the end of the day, it's better to build community and you could put other people on. So I would say make sure you work with people that are starting up just like you and make your mistakes and learn from it and post it. You know, who cares how many likes or comments you get? Just post it for you. Build yourself because people are watching and, you know, agencies are watching as well. And go to models.com. I always suggest it to everybody because that's what I did. Go to models.com, search up agency in your country and look at all their agency and go to their website and check their submissions and submit it. And I feel like just enjoy it if you can. You know, there are freelance models too. It's very diverse in terms of how you can get gigs and you can build yourself. You don't only have to rely on agencies as well. It's your work ethic at the end of the day that matters. And I feel like if you're determined to really be a model, I think you can really do it. And, you know, you gotta have thick skin. You already know how that goes. But make sure you just enjoy it for the sake of doing it, because it's fun. It's really fun. It's nice being on camera. If you love being on camera, you're going to love it. So
yeah.
Enjoy it. Try to enjoy it more than actually taking it too seriously, because it's not easy, but it's worthwhile when you're actually enjoying and loving it. So I think that's what I would say. At least that's what I was doing.
Yeah, and that's like, well, you heard it here first. These are the tips. but I mean, that's it, right? And what I will add, just from an artist perspective of like reaching out and looking for opportunities, like you said, like you collaborate with people. Also, there's some, you will be surprised at how many like Facebook groups and like, you know, groups in your community and like stuff like that you can actually get into. And on those groups, you would see people just put random calls out like, hey, you know, I'm new to the city. I'm trying to build my portfolio. And then a photographer may be like, oh, hey, DM me. Like, let's make something happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but also be careful because like you said earlier, there are scammers.
Okay. Like I said, no agency is going to tell you to pay something up front. If you're new at this, you're not, no.
No, don't do it.
No. Because at the end of the day, they need you to make them money. So they have to invest in you. So why would they tell you to pay up front if they need to build you? You know what I mean? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So be careful of that, but also trust your intuition. Even with photographers, even for the people you collaborate, just trust your intuition, you know?
Yes.
Don't allow your passions or your goals overlook or gloss things that you know is wrong or you know feels weird. I feel like it's not worth it. And you want to enjoy and feel safe and just be aware of, you know, people taking advantage of people's dreams, you know, and people who want to actually innocently just be stars. And it's nothing wrong with that, but don't allow it to make you blinded about the dangers in the industry.
Yeah, because there literally are people who will look to like violate, like,
yes, and take advantage.
Take advantage, like, oh yeah, you come for a shoot and they're like, oh, okay, so get whenever you're ready, and then you realize at the shoot that you're supposed to take, it's supposed to be a naked shoot.
Run away from there
because there are shady people.
Run. For free, run.
There are shady people, and there are people who, like, in the name of modeling, but it's really porn, they want you to shoot.
Yes.
Like, people are crazy, man. Like, people are wild out here.
I know.
Be careful. Like, if you go to a place, it's giving weird. If it's, and if you're the only one there too, sometimes, like,
okay,
you know, just a bit of a side eye. Sometimes it'll be fine, but give a bit of a side eye. If there's no stylist, if there's no, they're not collaborating with anyone, or if it's a, you know, male who's like, and then you're a female, like, whatever, like, the dynamic. I mean, there are also women that take advantage of women and men that take advantage of men. So be mindful and just, like, let your spidey senses, like, be, you know, tingling, right?
Absolutely. And also, FYI, like, if you feel uncomfortable during the shoot, you could stop it too. I feel like, just because, let's say you were doing something like you're doing an underwear shoot, and you're fine comfortably being in your underwear, and that's fine. But then if they're telling you to take it off and then now you feel uncomfortable, that's just as valid of you stopping it right away too.
Yeah.
There's no degree of when you should do or not. If you feel uncomfortable in that moment, that's valid. Stop the whole shit.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, stop so, it. You have consent. Like, you have consent. To give, and you can take it at any time. You can be like, I'm actually no longer comfortable with
exactly.
this.
Exactly.
I would like to go home now. Or my mom is outside. Just whatever you need to do to get out of there.
Exactly.
Because there have been so many horror stories, man. So many horror stories about,
unfortunately,
how people get taken advantage of physically or sexually or, you know, whatever the case may be. So just be mindful out here, you know?
Yeah, please do. Please do. And trust your intuition. That's all I could say. Trust your intuition at all times. And you got it. You got it too.
You got it. You got it. Awesome. Any last words you want to kind of leave before?
First of all, thank you so much for this. I've never done this before. It's really nice to just feel appreciated for what you're doing. I think sometimes you get so caught up in your everyday life and really building yourself that you lose sight that there are people that are actually really cheering for you, that are wishing you very well, that want you to succeed. And thank you so much for giving me the platform to just tell my story and really just touch people with my story. So thank you so much for that. I really appreciate that.
Oh, I appreciate you.
Yes.
You. Remember how we met? We met on this, like...
The Zoom
with, like, the film program young and black filmmakers, emerging filmmakers. And you know, you were one of the folks in it, as was I, and we both did projects and it got shown and it was really cool.
Yes.
But I've tried to kind of, like, follow everyone and just kind of peep on what everyone's doing and cheer them on in the comment section, like, hey,
yeah, honestly,
like, you know, yeah,
what you're doing is great too. Like, you're really just advocating for us, and I love the cause and the meaning of it too. Like, it's really great what you do, and you're actually doing it. You're following up, like, you're on it. You're really on it.
I'm trying to be a filmmaker, boy.
I'm trying
to do it.
Absolutely. Take steps at a time, and you eventually realize, like, oh shit, I went all the way up to the top. Like,
yes.
So, you're doing great, and the cause of it, and the cause is amazing. Like, this is what's up, period. Like, cheers.
Thank you. Period. Yes. Amazing. Thank you so much, Evans. Would you like to leave your social media for folks that want to kind of...
Yes.
Oh,
so
yeah, please.
I'm more of an Instagram girly, so it's EVNSOFORI, Evans Ofori without the A. I'm getting to TikTok a lot more, so it's the same thing as my Instagram handle. But yes, that's it. Thank you so much for this. It was great.
Of course. Before you leave, you will not escape this one.
Hey. You hit in the nail, child.
I see. You're like, but no, wait. Wait a second. Oh my goodness. please leave us with just a word of wisdom, a word of advice before.
Oh, good. Okay. Oh, that's a lot. Okay, I have a few more. I have one. Know your magic and know how to give it up. You know what I mean? Know your magic. Know who you are. Know you. How you walk, how you talk, like, you form it. It's okay to have, I love how celebrities have alter egos, like, form those to create that ideal version of yourself and own it. And, look, what is impossible is not possible, impossible for God, and God will really make, pave the way for you. And even if you're not spiritual, like, the universe is God, God is love, and spread love, and do you celebrate other people? Your turn will come too. And, you know, don't give up on yourself. It's hard. It's really, really hard. But at the end of the day, it's worse to pursue or do things that doesn't resonate with you. I think it's way worse than actually going out in the field and really getting your hands dirty and building yourself. Like, stay focused and stay determined, and you'll get there. And enjoy life. Enjoy your path. It's different from anybody.
Enjoy life.
And live and stay present. And don't be an asshole.
What a way to end it. Okay. At the end of the day, don't be an asshole. That's
don't
awesome.
Be an
Thank
asshole.
You. Thank you, Evans. Now you can shimmy off as I close this. Thank you all. Thank you to our listeners for your, you know, for staying with us for this episode. And again, Evans, I really appreciate you sharing your story, sharing advice, sharing, you know, your path with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It was really fun. You're awesome. Great host. And it was good. It was really good. The trivia, I choked up a bit, but that's okay.
That's all right.
Next time I won't know my shit. So
yeah, it's all good. It's all good.
Thank you so much.
Yes. And to our listeners, we'll see you on the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Afros in the Diaspora. I hope this episode left you feeling inspired and hopeful. To engage, feel free to like, follow, share, and subscribe to Afros in the Diaspora on all social media and podcast platforms. Remember to leave a review and a rating. If you would like to be a guest, please reach out. Send an email to hi@afrosinthediaspora.com. That is hi@afrosinthediaspora.com. Or send us a DM on Instagram @afrosinthediaspora. Remember, there is beauty in our stories and power in our voices. Together, we are stronger. Until next time.